Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Ancient Destiny by Albert Lynn Clark is a science fiction series set in today's time. The main characters are six young women and an artificial intelligence starship named Ship. The captain of the starship is the only male character who was a college student before the ship teleported him to save humanity. The theme of the series is Earth is going to be destroyed, and to save humanity, we have to colonize other planets. The captain of the starship recruited six young women with specialized training. The book series presents possible scientific advances needed and the ancient history of Earth civilization while exploring for possible new planets for humans. Albert Lynn Clark is a widowed retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel and retired U.S. Air Force civil servant. 39 years working in munitions, research, and development, a truly distinguished military career. He was called by President Johnson to help solve the bomb shortage during the Vietnam War. While working in foreign military sales, he was personally called by many embassies, the U.S. Secretary of Defense, and President Jimmy Carter. He had a role in planning most of the new weapons systems that started development during the President Reagan military buildup that brought down the Berlin Wall. He worked on new aircraft and new electronic systems research and development, and now the author of numerous books, including the Ancient Destiny science fiction series. Back with us on This Week in America is Albert Lynn Clark. Albert, always a pleasure. Thank you for being back with us on the program.
Yeah, well, good to be here. I enjoy talking about my books. And with that, I wanted to tell a little bit of news about this particular book, in that it has been translated into, of course, it started in English. It's been translated into Japanese, French, Spanish, Hindu. It's currently being translated into Mandarin for China and and Korean for South Korea. So it's going worldwide. I'm not making any money yet, but I think I ought to get the Nobel Peace Prize for uniting the entire world on that book.
You've got everybody involved. Yeah, what's the title of that book?
It's Lightning and Thunder, A Miracle Love Story.
And that was the first book that we did about a year ago with Albert. The interview is right in our archive, and the book is now going international. In fact, he's been doing a number of interviews, international interviews, on all of his books. Tonight, we're talking about Ancient Destiny 2, Escape from Earth. But before we do that, let's go back and take just a couple of minutes. Wrap up. You left a cliffhanger with Volume 1, Ship. Tell us where it ended and what we're going to be reading about in Volume 2, Escape from Earth.
Okay, well, Volume 1 starts out with Craig being teleported from his dorm room into a spaceship, finding the ship telling him what the problem was, and he needed help. So the ship said, well, you don't have any help. And he said, why are there seven chairs at the dining room table? And the ship says, that's for your six concubines. And he says, I don't need concubines. I need scientists. So the ship helps him select different women that are close to his age, but are very, very advanced, probably a lot smarter than he is. The one he chose is a 20-year-old girl is working on a PhD in astronavigation and getting ready to graduate, and he has to convince her to leave her education, her family, her friends, and go with him on the spaceship, but he can't tell her about the spaceship. That's not permissible to tell her about the spaceship. Yes. Or the mission. So that's kind of a twisted story, and I almost didn't want to write it. But anyway, he meets six other girls that have the ideal background for his mission to save the world, save humanity. Not very many people, but a few tens of thousands will be colonized on other planets. Well, at the end of book one, Ship, which introduces the artificial intelligence ship and the mission and what his trials of going through and trying to figure out what he's supposed to do, to try to save humanity. And at the end of the book, he has actually married Don, the astro navigation specialist. And then the ship makes an announcement, says, "Well, I've been tracking this asteroid for, tens of thousands of years, and I made a slight miscalculation. Instead of having 4 years, you've only got 2 years."
Wow. 2 years until the end of Earth as we know it. So they've got a hustle here, don't they?
Right. Well, they've already developed a lot of the technology in Book One, but they're currently building. Every country in the world is using the American design for colony ships, and they're training colonists to go on those ships. And because of they want to have a colony, it's we're not going to go there and come back home. We're going to go there for the rest of our lives. And so they take along 6 women for each man so they can have more children, so they can grow the colony faster to have a better chance of success for the colony. And and while they're in on their way to other planets, which will take months, if not a year or two, women eat less, breathe less, so therefore women are ideal space candidates for a long-range mission. However, they got men along because, gee, they're going to have children when they get the other end.
Yes.
And they're taking along test tube cows, test tube pigs, eggs for chickens, so forth, to have some amount of human food that we're used to when we get to the new colony. So, anyway, panic, we've only got 2 years. So, Don says, "You need to bring in the rest of the crew." So he does. He brings in the rest of the crew. They start rapidly training colony ships, and they launch into space all over the world. So every country in the world is sending out a spaceship. Now, some countries don't have the wherewithal to be able to build a
Yes.
spaceship. And with the U.S. spaceships, hey, we're pretty much a conglomeration of nationalities anyway. So we've got a little bit of everybody on our ships, and we have more ships because we developed it first, and we've got a tremendous industry that has done, in the past has done miracles, like in World War I, World War II. We just outproduced everybody. So we've got more ships than the other countries. But Europe's got a ship, China's got a ship, Russia's got a ship. And some of those ships, some of the British colonies, for instance, they have people from their colonies that they still have, or traditional colonies that are coming on some British ships. So anyway, the book one goes into r rapid. Trying to, while they're producing the ships and training the crews, the crew of ship with its 6 women and 1 man is searching seriously for planets that they can go to. So they find several planets. One planet has buildings on it that were actually constructed by some other civilization. It looks sort of Egyptian, but it's very high tech, and they don't know who did it, but maybe it was people from Atlantis. Who knows? But anyway, there's no people left on the colony, on that planet. So it's a free planet with already some constructed buildings
Yes.
and so forth. So that makes it very easy to transport to. And then there's another one that is they call Pangaea, which is a planet like Earth, but without people. It's got trees and oceans and fish in the oceans and all kinds of plant life, and it's got resources like fossil fuels and so forth that they can develop. And then there's another planet that is habitable, but it's volcanic, so it's very warm there. It's jungle type planet, but it's suitable for humans to live there. So anyway, they take off in their ships. And ships are going to different places because they're going to the different planets that they've already found that seem that they've actually explored. And some of the exploration is in Book Two. And so this is the as they're traveling through space, the ship is able to stay in communication with them, and the ships are pretty much programmed to do what they're going to do. And how they create artificial gravity for this long trip is they have constant acceleration. So they're always pulling more than one G of acceleration. And they're normally, they're traveling at, they're using 1.2 or 1.3 Gs of acceleration, which makes everybody on the ship heavier than what they would be on Earth. And occasionally they buckle in to their seats and the ship will accelerate to 4 and 5 Gs, which people can take, but not for forever. And it'll accelerate to 4 or 5 Gs to gain more speed. So eventually these colony ships are eventually going to be traveling faster than the speed of light. Also, because there's no way you can get to another planet. I was just reading today, for instance, on the internet that we found a planet that's very much Earth-like, but it's 40 light years away, which is really close considering the size of the universe.
Yes.
it's only 40 years away. Well, at the speed of light, that would take 40 years. If you can go half the speed of light, that would take 80 years. Whoops, that means your crew is going to die on the way of old age when before they get there. and of course, the current ships we have that Earth has right now at their speed, it would take hundreds and hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, to get to that planet. So we have to travel faster than the speed of light, or it's not practical to travel to other planets. So anyway, so I've come up with technology that may and may not work, but I did work research and development for years, and also we know that things will travel faster than the speed of light because in using our space telescopes, we have located certain galaxies, and then we take pictures of them, and we have their exact location, and we take another picture of them a year or two later, and hey, they moved. They moved so far that they had to have traveled faster than the speed of light. So the entire galaxy was traveling faster than the speed of light because, you know, I say a picture today and a picture a year from now, hey, you can't get there without going faster than the speed of light.
Yes.
Also in the laboratory, we've managed to accelerate things like a proton faster than the speed of light. Well, accelerating a proton faster than the speed of light proves that it's possible. And when it slows down, it's a proton again. So it changed from a physical proton to energy and back to a physical proton again during that trip of a few hundred miles. So we know it's possible to exceed the speed of light, but we're talking an entire colony ship. Each colony ship will have 1,000 crew members, along with all their supplies they're going to need during the trip. And equipment that's packaged for reassembly once they get to the colony.
Yes.
So, like, if you need a farm tractor, okay, well, you disassemble it, pack it in a box, and when you get there, the men on board will reassemble that tractor, put it back together to where it's usable again. And keep in mind now that we've developed some new metal. I call it in the book Impervium. and it's impervious to normal metal. Matter of fact, just in the last year, I read where we have a new aluminum that we've created, that the aluminum is stronger than steel and it's clear like glass. And it will withstand over 3,000 degrees of temperature without hurting it.
That's just amazing.
So, gee, that makes a nice windshield for an SR-71 or 72, oh,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yes.
But so... And of course, we have graphene that is lightweight like a feather almost, and yet it's stronger than steel. So those are things we actually have developed now, but building a whole spaceship is a whole different story. And again, the technology for building that new metal was provided by the ship to the members on the ship,
yes.
And then they taught people on Earth how to make that metal for the building of the spaceships.
This is just an amazing story. I just wanted to say here, if you're just listening, our guest is Albert Lynn Clark, and he's describing his Ancient Destiny series. We talked about the Volume 1 in a past program. That's available in our archive. That was Ancient Destiny 1 ship. This is Ancient Destiny 2, Escape from Earth. We're talking about where we ended the cliffhanger from 1 going into 2 and all that they've got going. Albert, I didn't mean to interrupt there. I just want to let people know where they can get copies of the book. All of the series available, of course, at Amazon. Albert's website is albertlynnclark.com, and you can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. So back on the trip that's going to take a long time to get there. Pick us up where we left off.
Okay, so, for takeoff, it takes off like an airplane, but it uses ICBMs, missiles, strapped onto it for acceleration on the runway, and it takes off on reusable landing gear. So it takes off, the landing gear stays on the ground, and it takes off without landing gear to cut down on weight. And when it gets to its colony, remember this, the ship's built out of impervium. It's a super, super strong metal. It's going to crash land on the planet. And once it's landed on the planet, it'll never be used again, except that they will still have an onboard hospital and places that people can stay while they're building houses on the new colony. And they can use the nuclear power for electricity for many years before the nuclear fuel will run out. So they've got several years to find resources on that planet. And naturally, they're going to look for things like coal and oil,
and
natural gas, and things like that, because they're easy to develop and cheaper than anything else. We don't really know whether they will have wind. They could use solar, but solar takes so many materials to build the solar that it's not practical. If you're going to build a colony, you're going to have to go back and use the old things like fossil fuels. So you can take along with an impervium built drilling rig and drill a hole in the ground and get oil and store the oil and refine the oil and so forth. And therefore, one of the key technologies that has the crew is they have a geologist with them. So the geologist will help find things like iron ore and aluminum ore and fossil fuels that they can mine or drill for. And that's what the purpose of the geologist is. They have a zoologist who has to study the planets to make sure they're suitable for animal life, which includes humans, because we're animals too. And of course, naturally, you need a biologist for studying the other factors on that planet, like the trees, the grass, things like that. You know, if we have a cow that we create with a test tube cow, basically, can it eat the grass, or are we going to have to bring grass with us?
Yes.
So anyway, all those things are thought out, and why they have certain specialties in the original crew, and the colonies will have a very similar match of specialties. One of the things they won't have to have on the colony ships is survivalists. The crew has one survivalist who happens to be an American Indian that is fully capable of living on her own without any support anywhere. But she is the one that will be the first person to actually step foot on a new planet. The ship will look and see if it's got the right atmosphere, so the atmosphere won't kill her when she immediately lands. And she will be teleported to the surface, and she can go exploring a little bit on her own with the ship always ready to transport her back in case of dire emergencies. But she has some special characters that she's pretty amazing. She would be a good candidate for Marvel Mysteries.
It sounds like it, yes.
Yeah, but anyway, we needed a survivalist, and he ends up with an American Indian woman, naturally, that is fully capable of doing everything on her own and absolutely almost superhuman. And the others are more laboratory-type people. but they all have to get along for the rest of their lives on the ship.
Yes.
Now, an interesting thing they find out as the ship is traveling is that every time they are teleported, The ship teleports them by breaking them down into subatomic particles.
I love this.
Reassembling them on their destination, and including all their memories, so their brain has to be back the way it was when they left. And then when they transport back the ship, they're teleported back again. Well, one advantage of that is they're always the same age.
Yeah, I love that part of it.
Because every time they teleport, it reassembles them like they were. So if they break a leg on the planet, the leg will be healed by the time they get back as if it never happened. The only thing the ship cannot prevent is if they get killed off the ship, he can't bring them back to life. But he can fix just about everything else that might go wrong with them while they're on a planet. Simply by reassembling them the way they were when they were started out. So they will never age. So through the history of the book, which lasts, when you get into volume four, it's 30 or 40 years later, they will still be young people.
Yes. I love that aspect of it. You've really thought all of this through. How long did it take you to develop the series? I mean, probably ongoing. You did volume one, released it, but I mean, you've really thought this through, and there's some plausibility, isn't there, to what you're talking about?
Yeah, well, I did work research and development for 10 years, where I would travel here and there across the country to various different contractor plants or to government offices to develop schedules and budgets for 20 to 30-year research and development programs. So I was exposed to all kinds of research and development that I can't even talk about. Although most of I have been retired for 20 years, so most of it's actually come true now. And I will sit there and I'll be reading Google or whatever and say, oh, there it is.
That's what happened to that project.
Right. As a matter of fact, one project I work on, it only took us 6 weeks to develop a new capability. And I came up with I was sent out to Los Angeles to develop a counter to a Russian capability. And I came up with an idea to use existing technology and just reassemble it in a different way. And basically it works just like it did before, except a different mission. It only took us 6 weeks before I went back out there to watch the test films of it actually working. And then 20 years later, I was walking by the television set, and Walter Cronkite on CBS News was showing that same test film, saying, hey, look at this new capability we have.
So, man, you were right there with all of this. I mean, it's just amazing the background that you had, taking that background and coming up with Ancient Destiny, the series. Time is going by so quickly. Where do we end book two?
Well, book two ends up with the colonies have been established now. They're starting to use lumber to build houses, from trees on that planet.
Yes.
And so they're building their own houses. They're building corrals for their animals to keep them at home and safe instead of wandering away on a planet that's the size of Earth. So you got to make sure your animals that you're growing for food stay where you want them.
Yes.
So they have to build pens and corrals and so forth for the animals, as well as housing for themselves, so they don't have to stay living on tiny cramped quarters on the ship, which are really cramped. We're talking a room with maybe four people in a room that to get out of bed, they have to take turns to get out of bed.
Small, yes.
And they spent months in that ship. They're glad to get out and get away to some fresh air, even though the air on the ship is regenerated frequently. So it's not unfresh air, but it's really nice to get in ordinary fresh air with smells of trees and things on the planet. So they build houses. They're looking for resources. They're starting to develop resources. And whoops, cliffhanger. Another intelligent race is looking at him.
Ooh, okay.
So that's where we go into generations. And we also lose one of the crew members because she likes this one colony so well that she wants to leave the ship and stay there and have children. Because being teleported back and forth, they'll never have children because they're already returned right the way they were.
Yes.
So if a woman gets pregnant, she's not pregnant when she comes back to the ship.
And have to do the process all over again. That
right.
What a world that you've created. And this is the Ancient Destiny series. We'll be talking about Volume 3. Albert will be back with us for another program and continue this. I took you right up to the cliffhanger, so you know that somebody is looking at them, and we'll find out who the next time we talk to Albert. Our guest is Albert Lynn Clark. The book's available wherever books are sold, right? Of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and to Albert's website. It's albertlynnclark.com. Albert, I'm looking forward to see what happens in Volume 3. Just a couple seconds here, but as you're describing this, again, as you did the first time, this is very visual. I hope this becomes a motion picture or even a television series, and I know you're working in that direction to make that possible.
Yeah, well, as I was writing the books, it was like I'm watching a movie, and I'm typing as fast as I can trying to get it on paper.
Well, it comes across, as you're describing it, that's the way it comes across. As you're reading the book, that's the way it comes across. You can see exactly what's happening. You feel like you know these people, and you're talking about breathing the air. You feel like you're breathing the air that they're breathing on the new colony. It's so lifelike. It's the Ancient Destiny series. The author is Albert Lynn Clark. His website is albertlynnclark.com. My thanks to EC Publishing, LLC, bringing your vision to life with expert editing, design, and marketing tools tailored to your publishing success. That's EC Publishing, LLC. Albert, a pleasure having you here. Can't wait till the next time to find out what happens in Volume 3. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, well, it's fun to be here because I enjoy talking about it. And the Ancient Destiny currently has 4 movie companies looking at it. So I don't have a contract yet, so I don't have money yet.
You are so close to everything with all of the international exposure in China, all over the world that you were talking about, your book, talking about the marriage that was such a miraculous story, and we've talked about that on the program. That now has worldwide accessibility for the reading audiences. All of this, the visual aspect, that you're going to see big things with Ancient Destiny, and we appreciate Albert taking time to be with us on the program. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.